Mike Mask here on WCC this morning. Maxie, how are you?
Good. Yeah, it's funny you said that, Dave, because I tried in the morning get up and go, you know, somewhere just to get a cup of coffee or to a grocery store just to pick up something, and it gets me going, and I see people and I see cars and traffic, and I don't feel, you know, I feel socially like I'm engaged. And the one thing I've noticed, and you maybe have too, yesterday I really noticed it for the first time. I was at Lakewind's grocery store, and the number of people wearing masks is just, it seems like every day it's almost doubling. And, you know, rubber gloves have become common, but I can't believe how many people yesterday specifically were just wearing a mask, and you thought nothing of it. But the visual is kind of impactful because you say, okay, here we go, man. Here's the next step in this thing. And I can see where at some point in time we'll all look like that.
Oh, yeah. It's, these are changing times daily and hourly. It's amazing. It's just every day is a new experience. Last night you had a number of people on the show, including a very interesting talk with Bert Blyleven.
Well, you know, it's he's down there in Fort Myers, of course, and they've got their own Florida's got their own quarantine and their own set of issues down there with everybody, of course, that flocks to that state this time of year for spring training and spring break and everything else. So, but it was fun, and I'm sure you're finding this too, for a few minutes to visit yesteryear and to talk about 87 and how they wanted to get, even though the stories we've heard before, for about 5 minutes, your mind drifts away and you think about 87 and what it was like here and, you know, the addition of Don Baylor and all things that we've chronicled before. But I think that's really valuable for, you know, not just on the radio, but in your own lives, if you can engage somebody in a conversation and talk about some memory or something, because I found myself just kind of enthralled and taking myself back to, and in a healthy way, just, you know, reminding yourself how good times can be and what it's like. And I don't know, to me, both in your personal life and your professional life, there's some value in that, just talking about something where your mind goes away from what we've been talking about. And that's what we did last night a little bit with Bert, and then, you know, obviously he's high on this team if they ever get to play. And, you know, if you want to go down the road a little bit, I mean, if this thing gets delayed a long time, if they play a condensed season and you're the Twins, you know, you get Rich Hill, who you signed as a pitcher, who's sitting out because of injury for a long time, you could get him for a better percentage of the season. And then Pineda, based on his suspension, you could get back, and you could have a formidable pitching staff if they could get started by July or so. So, you know, no reason, I guess, not to throw that out there once in a while, even in the midst of it, because those are the things that hopefully at some point in time will become important to us again.
Yep, and you got a healthy Buxton when you would start the season. I said to a Dave St. Peter the other day here on the air, Max, he said it's one thing to – not see the season happen. The other thing is when you know you have a really, what should be a really good team, and you can't get them out on the field there. But we will do game one of the 87 World Series tomorrow at noon here on WCCO. And when I think about 87, you look at the highlights, one of my favorites, and Randy Bush had one of the highlights too. But also when Laudner picks off Evans on third base for Detroit, throws to Gaetti, and it ends an inning and a threat. And I thought, I remember thinking, wow, maybe this is the year the Twins will take it all. At that point, I think some of us became believers. But it'll be fun to listen to today.
Yeah, when they played Detroit that year in the first year, you know, Detroit was the favorite, and Detroit had to work hard to win the division, so they had to tax their pitching staff a little bit more than the Twins did. The Twins got the last week off, but that first game in that ALCS, and of course there was no wild card then, it was just those two teams, winner goes to the World Series, and Doyle Alexander was pitching for Detroit because Jack Morris didn't have enough rest to start game one, and Gary Gaetti hit two home runs, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh. I mean, and Gaetti was kind of that kind of a leader where he didn't really care. He was just going to go play and swing from the heels and all those things. And they won that game. That they knocked Alexander out of the game fairly early. And you go, whoa, this is different. What happened here, you know? And then they just kind of continued it. They beat Jack the next game. And as you mentioned, they went in Detroit and finished it off with that pickoff play from Laudner where they got Daryl Evans. And that was something, man. That was just what you said. You go, they really have, there's something magical here that you can't explain. And they had guys that could hit the ball. They had guys that could hit for power. And they, you know, Randy Bush was the DH. Don Baylor, they added. I mean, they had guys that could, they, Dan Gladden hit a big home run in that World Series. Steve Lombardozzi did. They had a lot of guys that could hit home runs.
That slide from Randy Bush.
Yep.
At home.
And he's safe, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll try to relive a little bit of that and give you a little break from reality here today, tomorrow at noon, game one of the 87 World Series. Maxie, college coaches, we're looking. I'm just looking at the revenue numbers today. I think there's a piece in the paper about it as well. They're going to be down. And if they don't, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with football. Hopefully we'll be playing by then. But if we're not, revenues are going to be down. College coaches' salaries are off the charts, not just for the head coaches, the assistant coaches too. Do you think we'll see an adjustment in salaries for those positions?
I just talked to John Anderson about that whole thing the other day, and he said, I'm preparing that we're never going to see times like we've had again. That it's going to look a lot different when this thing shakes out, losing the NCAA tournament, and if they lost football as well. And the one thing about college is they are, a lot of them, pretty fat and rich right now. They could easily trim millions of dollars almost overnight without compromising the integrity of the game or the play. You know, for example, your head coaches could take a big pay cut and still make a lot of money. So could the assistant coaches. Then you could get into non-revenue sports can only travel by bus for non-conference games. So in other words, if you're the Gopher baseball team, softball team, whatever, you get to play non-conference schedule, but it's South Dakota State, North Dakota State, Wisconsin, Milwaukee, you know, all teams that you can travel by bus the same day and play, but we're not going to California, Texas, Florida, whatever it is. And you could do that with, if you did that with all your non-revenue teams, you could save a whole lot of money. And then you also could get into the scholarship part of it because, again, this would be, you know, the revenue sports, you could go after the coaches because the salaries are so big. In the non-revenue, you could go after, you know, number of scholarships that you get. There's a lot of ways that you could cut costs. And John was just saying he's starting to prepare for that because the one thing is there's a lot of things that could be done and you really wouldn't miss much in terms of the game because most of the teams lose money except for football and basketball and depending on how you look at hockey. So there's a lot of room there to change it. And you know, they might just, depending on how this plays out, they might just have to go right at head coaches and just say, look, we need to renegotiate this contract. And, you know, if you don't, you're going to look bad because if everybody else is and you don't, you're going to look really bad here. And it could come to that.
Who's our Old Dutch Athlete of the Week, Mike?
His name is Craig Orlando. He's a wrestler. He's a senior from Verndale, wrestling for Bertha Hewitt, Verndale Parker's Prairie Cooperative team. Finished his senior season with a record of, how about this, 50-0 in his third Class A heavyweight state championship, a record of 184-34 with 123 pins. I didn't know you were wrestling him that night. Sleep well up against him. Minnesota Wrestling Coaches Association named him Mr. Minnesota Wrestler for the 2019-20 season. Also an All-State football player. He's going to play at the University of North Dakota for the Hawks next year. So congratulations to Craig Orlando for being this week's Old Dutch Quality Athlete of the Week.
Yeah, you hear about the athletes exchanging pins at the Olympics. That's not the kind of pin you exchange right there. That's impressive numbers.
How would you like to be? Who do you got tomorrow night? Well, you got to wrestle Craig Orlando. Okay, I sleep well.
That's right. Might want to injure yourself before you get to the match. But, congrats to him. That's pretty exciting. And all those wrestlers out there, that's a lot of work they put in. You know, I'm saluting them, but I also want to salute all the hardworking employees, and not just Maxie and I, but I know the folks at Old Dutch say thank you for everything everybody's doing out there right now. They just want to recognize all the great efforts in our community. A lot of them go unnoticed, but we're all pulling together, as we always do in tough situations. And the folks at Old Dutch are there working every day. We want to say thank you, Mike, to their drivers, their plant workers, their warehouse distribution teams, the loyal customers during the new challenge we have.
The new challenge is right, and they have, as you know, Dave, pull up the bootstraps, get up every morning, get in there, and these men and women haven't missed a beat. And I don't know, there is something. I was there just yesterday buying a bunch of chips and you know, Restaurante and some kettle chips and some Rip-El, and I bought a box of the originals. Just, if nothing else, I think I might leave it up for decoration after they're done, because it reminds you of Minnesota and it reminds you what we do. And Old Dutch is in the middle of that. You know, let's get up, let's do what we can do. Let's make sure those shelves are stocked with our product. Let's make sure that people feel good about it. They're not out there price gouging. They're doing whatever they can to help us all get through it. And it's just, it's incredible. When you see that windmill, you remember that we are all in this together. And the folks from Old Dutch, nobody wears that like they do as a Minnesota company.
And, of course, you and I will resume soon our very unpopular broadcast that we're trying to do on Zoom and some other places.
Yep.
I know Jerry Seinfeld does this drinking coffee with comedians in cars. And, of course, you and I have started, and we're pretty sure he ripped off the idea from us as we did eating chips with sports fans. And so we'll resume those videos here soon. So don't worry about that, folks.
We'll have to do it on Zoom. We'll adjust to the times, but it won't change the quality of the chip. I can tell you that.
OldDutchFoods.com. Check out their website. Thanks, Maxie. I look for you on TV.
Thank you.
Mike Max, WCCO, our good neighbor, coming up next.